Are you a runner that has maybe put on some extra weight? Maybe had some injuries, some downtime, and now you're looking at that bathroom scale and you have a couple of extra pounds. No problem, you say. Running will get me back into shape.
Welcome to HypnoRunning, the show where we do more than just talk about running. We help you find solutions to develop your full potential, making you a better, faster, and smarter runner. And here is your host, Heiko.
Thanks for joining us here today. And look, first off, I'm not the best person to speak to about weight or losing it or gaining it. Why? Because simple, I'm skinny. I can eat more or less anything and still remain skinny. And why am I diving into a topic then about weight and running? Good question. Simply because of the number of runners that I've met that carry excess weight and struggled with it. They're just too many. And a big respect to all you runners out there that are heavy set, that are bulky. You know, they've got more mass. And I see you guys at marathons or at trail runs. And my biggest respect to anyone who shows up to the starting line and who crosses it at the sound of the gun. And the time it takes, that is absolutely, it commands a big respect. You run your race. Why are there so many runners that seem to be struggling with weight? I mean, if I run a marathon, my weight drops significantly, maybe 5 pounds or even more. It sounds a lot, but most of it is, of course, water, nearly hardly any calories. Weird, huh? By the way, making up for the loss of liquid, drinking a lot of water is not going to help much. In fact, if you drink too much water, once your cells are diluted, it can cause the low sodium and potassium. Some runners I see at the same starting line year after year, and their weight seems to remain constant, and they're big. They don't look like runners. They're just too big. And that doesn't make sense, right? Isn't it well known that every new year, you know, so many people, they want to lose 10 pounds, and that's why they bought those running shoes. That's why I buy those running shoes, that running gear, you know, because it's going to make me run better. But something isn't working. And it's also well known that running is apparently one of the best forms of exercise for losing weight, more than burning calories. You know, it can directly reduce belly fat and body fat. So what's going on here? You know, no one signs up a marathon just to beat the cutoff line. I'm pretty sure that signing up for a marathon, training for it, paying for the means, you know, the goal is to get the best personal time you can, the fastest time, your best result that a particular runner has ever achieved in the distance. That's why we sign up for marathons. And there's a lot of research which indicates that running at a moderate to high intensity will reduce belly fat. So there's research that states that. And then here's the stumbling block added to that research, and that's problem number one. It states that you can, or you could reduce belly fat even if you don't change your diet. That's problem number one right there. So the studies have proven that you can lose, you may lose belly fat even if you don't change your diet. I mean, that's like, isn't that a ticket to speed on the freeway without anything, with no fines? You're like free ride. So high intensity running is then very effective at reducing body fat if you don't change your diet. Then what happens is, well, no surprise here, you're going to be overcompensating this by eating too much. And there's a phrase I heard abroad, and I couldn't believe it. Abs are made in the kitchen, which apparently means that exercise and diet go hand in hand when it comes to slimming down or toning up. But I fail to see a powerful invitation or proposition in that sentence, you know. Abs are made in the kitchen. I mean, this does not mean you have to adopt one of the latest fads or diets floating around. You know, it's such a nice thing. It sounds nice in the ear. What does it mean? That losing weight comes from a calorie deficit or what? So if you're gaining weight from running, maybe it's because you've started taking in additional calories to fuel your run and you're overdoing it. You haven't found the right balance. Why? Because all that running, hey, it makes me hungry. It makes you hungry. Now, since you're burning so many calories, you're then having to compensate for the difference by eating more than your normal amount. And that's going to increase your weight. So what you should do is obviously you need to experiment with different meals. You know, having a carbohydrate-based snack just an hour before you go run. Again, well, the carbohydrates, what are they? They're stored in the muscles and liver as glycogen. So whilst you're running, and carbohydrates, very easy food: brown rice, quinoa, black beans. I just had black beans for lunch. Whole wheat pasta, oatmeal, lentils, sweet potatoes. Nice beets. Yep, take some getting used to, but they are nice. Bananas, apples, or if you're lucky enough to live in a hot country, go for those mangoes. So going natural also means to consume natural food and fuel sources. Energy bars could be a quick solution, but many of them, they do contain a high amount of calories, sugar, processed ingredients, and your body's going to struggle with that. So do you actually know how many calories you burn whilst running? You know, the number of calories you burn whilst running, it depends on the intensity of your run, your weight, your gender, and other factors. Me, for example, 70 kilos, that's 154 pounds. Running for 30 minutes at a moderate pace, I'm going to be burning about 400 calories. If I go faster, no, not so often, I might burn 476, 480. Then I don't believe the part of, yes, reduce your weight without changing your diet. I don't believe that. I've always been skinny, like, you know, the photos 30 years back, short trousers, matchstick arms and legs poking out there. And people who might have seen me back then might have suspected an eating disorder. But that didn't mean I was able to get my best running performance, even though I had the build of a runner. I felt I could achieve more by looking at my weight and diet, but not by sticking to a slogan like, don't change your diet. No, I looked at these two factors, my weight and my diet. And what I've done is I've experimented. I did a lot of research. I adhered to the factors, you know, which have proven to be successful. And of course, I had an excellent book, which is by Matt Fitzgerald. You know, it's called The Racing Weight. Racing Weight is a system based on weight management methods for the endurance athlete. It's very specific. I highly recommend weight management in endurance sports to get better performance. And the best way to reach racing weight is to copy those practices in that book. And he, Fitzgerald, he introduces this concept of appetite control, and delivers a really structured weight management program along with it. Now, I want to sum it up, and this is the book Racing Weight by Matt Fitzgerald. It's 5 points I'm going to get into. You need to focus on losing fat, not just weight. We're getting into specifics here. You know, it's to focus on reducing body fat whilst maintaining muscle mass for optimal athletic performance. And number two, you need to track your food intake. You need to keep a food diary because it's going to help identify the patterns where you're making headway and where you're adding more mass, where you're putting blocks in the way. Of course, eating fewer processed foods, I think that's, for me personally, the biggest gain ever. You know, fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, healthy fats. That is a big win right there. And then he recommends is to training periodization, nutrition periodization, which involves adjusting your diet throughout the year so that it aligns with the different phases of training and races, so that when you're going to go for your peak, you know, basically you just need to align this. Don't make it two separate issues. And he talks a lot about dehydration, which of course negatively impacts performance workout. Now, the right mix of those macronutrients for training and for recovery, that there's quality over calorie count. And Fitzgerald, he emphasized that athletes should prioritize the quality of the food over counting calories. For me, this wasn't a big game changer. You know, next thing I know, I had the cookbook of Brendan Brazier, and this guy is nearly my age, and he looks incredibly fit and healthy. He's a Canadian endurance athlete, author, vegan diet, nutrient-dense food, support training and recovery. And now you don't need to go vegan. But what you should do is go for lean proteins. If you need meat, it's something you enjoy, you need chicken, turkey, fish. And the carbohydrate timing, you know, the carbs are crucial for us endurance athletes. We need to consume them before and after to fuel training and to aid recovery. And the healthy fats incorporate sources of the omega-3, omega-6, the fatty acid through nuts, seeds, avocados, olive oil. That's things you need to have at home. And then the high nutrient density, that's foods that focus on providing a lot of nutrients relative to the calorie content. And again, stay hydrated. You know, you need to also consider the electrolytes that are lost during the exercise. And I know this, the big challenge is, look, if I'm in the States and I run into a Walmart and I go straight to that snack aisle, you know, where they have those veggies and those green looking juices, orange looking juices, yellow looking juices, and all kinds of healthy foods. And I grab a couple of things, I go to the till and I'm like, you know, $15 lighter. And I see the ad for a McDonald's breakfast, including a coffee, and it's like $4.99 or something. You know, I understand that. That struggle is real. But don't fall for those chemicals. Limit those processed foods. Minimize the intake of those sugary foods. They have a very low nutrition intake, but the taste in the mouth is amazing. That sugar, that salt, that's what it is, and that is addictive. And if you're used to it, if you haven't gotten rid of that out of your system, what's going to happen is you're burning tons of calories because you've been for a great run. Now you're famished and you're really hungry. And if you're used to that salty taste, that sugary taste, that mix that a fast food restaurant offers, low nutritional content, you're going to go for that. And you're going to choose junk food as your recovery food because it's quick, it's convenient, it's cheap. But you know this, you're going to be hungry again in the next hour. Problem number two, remember the first problem? Yes, no need to change your diet. And now next thing, you can eat food that isn't satisfying and filling that hunger because you've run a lot. You know, you deserved it. Second issue. So after you run, make sure whatever you're having is packed with proteins, with carbs, and it shouldn't be more than 150 calories. Simple as that. So if you've exercised before a meal, you enjoy a sensibly portioned plate and don't go overboard like I'm rewarding myself. It's food isn't about rewarding yourself. Buy yourself a new pair of running shoes or sunglasses and try two different meals and different times. If you're feeling hungry, don't immediately give up and, well, I just need different foods. No, try different timing. Maybe you need to refuel earlier. Another reason why maybe you don't see any weight reduction even though you're running. Could this be, big drum roll, you're not running enough? If you're running and not seeing results, you need to take a look at your calendar. You need to take a look at your Strava, at your moves count, whatever you're using. You know, doing one 45-minute run or a couple of 20-minute runs a week, it's not going to be burning enough calories so that you're going to reduce weight. Sorry, it's not going to do the trick. It's true. I know we're all different, and I don't even know you, but I know training plans, and I know people when they don't adhere to them. You need a coach in this area. You need a coach, someone who specializes in running and in diet, who can guide you through that maze of calories, carbohydrates, mileage, diet, exercise. And this coach is going to guide you towards losing weight, if this is your goal, by running 3 to 4 times per week and incorporating other forms of calorie burning, cardio, or metabolism boosting strength training. Yeah? Another reason might be, you're running less than you think. You just came back from a run, you're covered in sweat, and you're convinced you've burned over 500 calories. But did you really? I mean, look, perhaps you've burned 500 calories on a 45-minute run at a 10-minute per mile pace. But if you didn't run for that long or that fast, you're obviously not going to be burning as many calories as you thought. So it's best to really analyze your workouts. Use a heart rate monitor. Use one of the running apps on your phone, especially if you're doing same workout different day. If you enjoy my 3 mile loop or my 5 miler in your neighborhood and you're running it for a few weeks, it will help that running becomes a habit. But what's going to happen is it's the same running workout and your muscles are going to be adapting to the demands, which is going to mean you're going to be like on a plateau. You're not going to be advancing. It's a training plateau. Then another myth: eating less and moving more is the best way to lose weight. Eat less, move more. It's like a slogan, a basic idea for weight loss. It sounds straightforward and manageable. Unfortunately, we humans, we're very complicated. Weight loss becomes more complicated than that. And it shouldn't be, but it does. You know, many factors can influence weight loss: your genetics, your food environment, the level of your exercise, maybe a medical condition, psychological health, nutrition education. That's why just eating less doesn't usually work. And you can hear from this podcast, we're about 10 minutes in, we're already diving into many, many details. It's details, it's not just slogan. Don't hold on to those slogans, go into details. When you try to lose weight, you're fighting not only your cravings, but also your own body. You know, so weight loss decreases the hormone leptin, which signals to your brain, signals you are full, and increases the hormone ghrelin, which stimulates hunger. This is what research says. So the hormone imbalance continues long after you succeed at weight loss, making it even harder for those pounds that you've lost to stay off. It's still an ongoing battle. So what is this eat less, move more? So the basic idea behind eat less, move more is that body fat is purely a result of too much energy. By this theory, you lose weight if you consume less energy than you're using up, basically a calorie deficit. From a biological point of view, that makes sense. If you have more energy than you need, your body will store that energy. The excess energy is stored as glycogen in your muscle or fat. So this idea assumes that all calories are digested the same way and have a similar effect on your body. But big drum roll, this is not the case. So proteins, eggs, chickens, fat, avocado, olive oil, they do not have a big effect on your blood glucose levels, whereas carbohydrates, bread and pasta do. Eating excessive amounts of carbs is going to increase your blood glucose level and causes that insulin spike. And insulin is one of the main hormones controlling your blood sugar level and promoting that fat storage. Therefore, eating less and moving more means restricting your calories and exercising more. So this approach to weight loss is based on the idea that body fat is excess energy and all calories have equal health benefits. There are two famous studies, or one study with a very specific result that demonstrate that putting participants into a calorie deficit for 8 weeks result in weight loss. And this effect was seen regardless of whether participants were placed on a low-fat or low-carbohydrate diet. But this study was only 8 weeks long, and the participants' diet was carefully controlled and monitored, very carefully. But in real life, you know how it goes. Achieving and maintaining a calorie deficit, it's a very complicated, time-consuming thing. It requires perseverance and discipline, which seeing that you might be where you currently are now in relation to your weight, you lack those qualities exactly. So the comparison. In a study that took 6 months, a low-carb diet resulted in more weight loss than a low-fat, calorie-restricted diet. So the low-carb group were allowed unlimited, well, that sounds great, meat, eggs, dairy products, all relative high-calorie foods. And there were a few potential explanations for the result of the study. Some evidence suggests that when we dramatically restrict our food intake, our bodies have an evolutionary response to increase the hormones responsible for appetite. And this makes us feel hungrier and increases the chances of us eating more. Definitely happens with me. And another explanation is that the participants' mindset and their environment influence their food choice. Definitely, yes. If we're feeling deprived and restricted because of a low-calorie diet, we're much more likely to lose motivation and be influenced by some food in your environment. I mean, suddenly you're going to hear that donut box being opened. You're going to hear that, oh, that's that cabinet out there in the kitchen, the one where the sweets are being kept. So often, if you were really hungry and you avoid some foods and someone offers you exactly that, you're going to accept it, aren't you? And this highlights that weight loss doesn't account for mindset influencing food choices. And the participants in the study were given regular dietary advice. I mean, they were really guided, you know. And that's why they were more reflective, because it was a clinical setting. And by the end of the study, few of the participants in the low-carb group that dropped out compared with a calorie-restricted group. Why? Discipline. You know, this shows that due to other factors, the low-carb diet was easier to stick to. That's why eating less and moving more, achieving through a calorie deficit, is effective for weight loss in the short term. But a low-calorie diet is more difficult to stick to, and it's going to leave you feeling hungry. So eating less, move more implies that weight loss is solely about diet and exercise, but ignores the importance of mindset and the environment influencing your food choice. Now, the evidence suggests that not all calories are the same. So you shouldn't look at it, you know, 500 calories of sweets and biscuits don't provide the same nutritional benefit of 500 calories of vegetables or of chicken. And eating too many refined carbohydrates is going to lead to a high blood sugar and promote that fat storage. So in short term, blood sugar spikes can leave you low on energy and increase your cravings for more sugary foods. On top of this, the proteins and fat that are digesting more slowly than carbs, which leaves us feeling fuller for much longer. So this reduces the chances of snacking and feeling hungry or deprived. Could it be you are having an unhealthy relationship with food? You know, obsessing over the calorie counting. And it's a nice story. You know, I'm counting calories and I've tried this diet after. Could it be you're one of those? It's not nice for those who have to listen to it, but just ask yourself. You know, the mindful eating is an essential tool to help you become more aware of what you're eating and how much you're eating and why you're eating it. I remember that day when I really started, and it was that cookbook actually by Brendan Braser, which well, I made that first salad exactly like in the cookbook. I remember it so clearly because it was so delicious, and I realized the importance of mindful eating compared to just going into a fast food place and unpacking it and eating it. So in the long run, that's going to help you control your portion size, your calorie intake, by being mindful and staying tuned with your body's needs. Now, does moving more lead to weight loss? The eat less, move more, which says, well, exactly that, use up more calories and you have a calorie deficit. Physical activity doesn't necessarily lead to weight loss, but certain types of exercise can aid weight loss. They can help towards it. So from a practical perspective, it would take an external long time to use up the calories from the food we eat just by exercising. For example, Cadbury's dairy milk chocolate contains 240 calories. How do I know that? I ate one. I had to do it for this podcast. So for an average cardio workout in the gym, that would take about 30 minutes, 30 minutes for that silly dairy milk chocolate bar. You know, 2 hours to use up this many calories, depending on your size, of course, and the type of exercise you're doing. So this highlights the impracticality of suggesting that we should exercise more to achieve a calorie deficit. However, again, I'm quoting from the same a study done here. The evidence suggests that high intensity exercise promotes fat loss. And one study controlled the participants' diet and split them into high intensity, moderate intensity exercise groups. Okay? And the high intensity groups, they were completed short bursts of exercises, whereas the moderate intensity did longer, steady exercise sessions. And what the result indicated that the short and high intensity exercise sessions, they resulted in more fat loss. So the research suggests that high intensity exercise positively impacts certain stress hormones released by the kidney that accelerate fat oxidization. Ha! There you go. Having said that, finding the time to exercise is, of course, significant. Any form of exercise is great for several reasons, your blood sugar control, your mental health, and all of that. But moving more doesn't necessarily lead to weight loss. Now, beginner advice. If you're an overweight runner, what should you do? If you're that runner who year after year, you've been struggling with it, or maybe you've just come back from a downtime, maybe you had a knee op or ankle, hey, get well soon. Well, what are you supposed to do? And you're really struggling with the weight, and what you need to do is, well, baby steps. Getting back into shape is going to take time. It's going to take patience. Trying too hard will lead to disappointment because you're going to be hurt pretty soon again. If you just overdo it now because you feel like you can't run, start slowly. And then you need to do a run-walk strategy. Swallow that pride that you could run 10Ks in 35. Forget that. You can't now. It's an old story from I used to. No, you've got to start with a run-walk strategy. And you need help. You need somebody who's going to guide you. You need a dietitian. You need a coach who specializes, who can lead you towards mindful eating, who can lead you towards what is the benefit of exactly this menu. What is that going to cause your body? What's it going to cause inside of your body? And if you have somebody who is assisting you and you act upon that advice, and then you take your running to the next level, and once you feel like you're able to run again properly, you're building your endurance, you start adding speed, wow, what's going to happen? You're going to get that excitement back. You're going to feel the results because you're listening to a dietitian who's going to guide you on that journey. And if you have a dietitian who's also a coach, he's going to give you that attention when you are lacking discipline. Please, don't make the global weight industry larger than it already is. You want to know how big it is? The global weight loss management market size is valued at $224 billion. And by 2030, it's going to be $405 billion. That's a compound annual growth rate of nearly 7%. Can you believe it? Don't go there. You don't need to go there. You don't need to fall for any ad or anything which promises a quick result. You've seen, you've heard in this part, you've felt it on your own body. These quick results aren't there. It needs to be assessed in detail. You need to go behind the slogans. You need to go behind those quick fix solutions, and you need to get advice, a dietitian who's going to help you map out your dietary needs, and you've got to adjust, you've got to practice as you get back into running. And pretty soon, I'm pretty sure you're going to feel a major change. It's going to be a major shift inside of you. I want to finish off here with God's words that tells us to exercise self-control by disciplining our bodies, and that caring for our physical bodies is useful. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8. Wow. Thanks for joining us on today's show. My name is Heiko. God bless you. And remember, take it easy.